wanna be down with the king.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with RJ. And what a weekend we had. What a great, great series. Didn't turn out the way we wanted it. Of course, those two games, basically the Yankees beat you two innings and they won two games. But, man, you want to talk about a team that, Lance, what heart. This team did not look like this Yankees series for most of the season. Not that they hit the ball great. They could have scored more runs. They had opportunities to score more runs, and maybe they wouldn't have lost the two games had they scored more runs, because they certainly did have some opportunities. But just the heart, just the pitching, holy crap. How good were Javier and Urquidy this weekend? I saw a stat where Javier threw 79 four-seam fastballs. 79. Mm-hmm. I believe he had 112 pitches. But he just said, you know what? Here's a fastball, hit it. And they couldn't.
No. 27 innings pitched for the four starters. They gave up 7 hits and 5 earned runs. I mean, that's just unbelievable. 7 hits allowed by the starters over 27 innings. Think about that. Think about how good that is. You know, we're talking about a hit every 4 innings, basically. And, of course, we know about the no. Well, we'll add it here to the show. We haven't talked about it yet. The Astros get a 3-pitcher no-hitter. It's the second time they've had combined pitcher no-hitters against the Yankees at their place. The last time was 2003 with 6 different pitchers. This time it was 3 pitchers. It was working backwards. Presley with an awesome return engagement after really struggling on Thursday's game. We know about that game that the Astros should have won and lost. Then you had the then you had Hector Neris the inning before, and then before that was, as John referenced, Christian Javier was just absolutely brilliant. I mean, just brilliant. Javier's locked into a starter's role. We got Jake Odorizzi news today to get to. We've got Lance McCullers news to get to. So there is about to be a substantial logjam of starting pitchers that may necessitate a trade before the trade deadline. So we will talk about that. But from a starting pitcher standpoint, John, Urquidy had a no-hitter going yesterday into the seventh inning. The Astros went over the Astros, I think, had a run of 17 and a third, I believe, straight innings against the Yankees total.
The last inning of Friday night, all day Saturday,
yeah,
and then 7 innings Sunday.
Right.
Six innings Sunday. But they also got the last 3 outs of the 8th inning on Friday night. So that's another inning. Plus, they got the first out of the 7th inning. So you could say it's 17 and a third. It's 17 and a third. It's actually all those outs. But they did give up a hit to lead off the 8th inning. It's actually 16 innings. 16 innings. Because you can't say 16 and a third because they got a hit in that inning.
But you were working. You were literally working on. Yeah, that's true. You were literally working on a second no hitter. Look how deep you were able to get for that second no, for the potential second no hitter, which would have been an unbelievable feat had that happened.
Never but happened.
Unfortunately, you know, the bullpen, Phil Maton, who's really been the weak link in the bullpen this year, to be honest with you. I mean, I'd say Maton has been it. For Maton, it's been, he wasn't great last year, had a good couple of postseason, you know, series, and then has not been very good this year. That was kind of the outlier, it looks like. Maton just was overmatched by the Yankees. And that's the thing with the Yankees. You better come with people who are mentally tough against this lineup. You better come with people who are mentally tough and who've got good stuff. It's just that's what you have to have. They're a really good offensive lineup. We've seen it with the Astros in the past. The Astros ruined tons of good relievers. in the past with their unbelievably explosive lineups. So we know what it looks like. Well, the way you get them out is you have to be extremely mentally tough, and you have to have really good stuff. And I don't think Maton fits that list. I thought Presley was a guy who looked like he was just not mentally there when he gave up, but you know, when he had that rough inning. But as you said, John, it's really been a matter of you could say three total innings. That's it. The Yankees outplayed the Astros for about three total innings of the entire series of 36 innings. We went 36 innings. So 36 innings, that's the Yankees won. You may say, oh, you know, Yankees play better in 3 to 5 innings. That's about it.
No, rest of it was Astros. Because that first game, the Astros scored 3 and they scored 3, so that's a tie.
Mm-hmm.
And then they scored 3 at the end, so they beat them that inning. The Astros JV dominated them the entire game, so there was that. And then Javier dominated them. They did nothing, no hit. And then they beat them in the 8th and the 10th. So it would have been three total. Yeah, after this weekend, we're like, oh, by the way, Justin Verlander was great again. Anybody see that? How great Justin Verlander was again? He's so totally forgotten in this deal. It is going to be.
Well, because everyone else was so good.
I mean, when Javier's thrown that way, Urquidy's curveball was fantastic. Was just fantastic.
It really was.
He is really throwing. Because he threw one, I thought, oh, here's the curve, because he didn't put much effort into it. Boy, the ball came out of his hand, and it came in at 95. He has changed something. He got rid of the cutter. I know that.
Yep.
But he is – he's really – I don't know if it's – I don't know what it is about him, but he's using his legs more or whatever. The ball is just flying out of his hand.
Yeah, he's – well, you know, that's a pitching coach's job is to get the most out of the – you know, get the most out of what a pitcher has, and that appears to be what's going on. We don't usually go to calls in the first – segment, but we got Anthony, our boy Anthony from New York. If you don't know him, he is from New York. You'll be able to tell. Works, I think Anthony still works construction. We'll find out. But Anthony is from New York and has been forever the biggest Astro fan. Not like when I say forever, some of you are like, I've been forever since 2015. No, this is like Anthony's going back to the dome, baby. He's going back to the dome. What's going on, Anthony?
That's right. The Bob Watson, the Cesar Cedeños, the Doug Raiders. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. When I call the show, whoever answers the phone, when I say Anthony from New York, they pause. And they think I'm going to call and trash the Astros. And that's the furthest from the truth. I was there on Saturday. I've been to a couple of great sporting events. But I got to say, Saturday was the greatest. The first no-hitter I watched with my son, he was 2 years old. He had no clue what was going on. But I got to watch it with my daughter on Saturday, and it was great. You know, the Yankee fans were talking smash. One guy wanted to knock me out.
What?
I love that, Anthony.
He wanted to come down. I said, you know, I just feel like knocking you out. And I said, well, unfortunately, my daughter's here, so I'm not going to engage. Mm-mm. So, but we could meet at another game, and I will bring her, and me and you can settle it.
Anthony.
So, anyway.
Keep loving your team, Anthony. So, keep loving your team.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And I just, before I hang up, because you guys sound a lot better than I do, I just want to give a shout-out to Lenny and Mike Guerrero from Cyprus. We're not related blood, but you're my brothers forever. I'm out.
All right.
Appreciate it, Anthony.
Anthony, I love that. I'll fight you about the Astros. See, that's so dumb. I'm going to fight you about, because I like this team and you like that team. I mean, let's not do that, people. But, boy, keep on saying F. Altuve, because, boy, oh, boy.
Oh, that's the best. I want to get shirts made for Houstonians to wear.
Oh, my God, right?
I mean, gosh.
Ian, who's on Twitter, you know him, he's like, can we please chant, let's do it, F. Altuve, and boo him. Because, boy, he will just explode. I love it. Jose Altuve shoves it right in their face every single time. He's their daddy. I mean, and if these – and I'm finally seeing some Yankee fans. We're seeing some articles. There was an article. Didn't you send one, RJ? An article about hey, can we stop this? Jose Altuve is not the face of the cheating scandal. He's just not. And by the way, he's really good at baseball. And by the way, we're pissing him off. Let's stop doing that. I mean, it is unbelievable how good he is against the Yankees. And for those of you who weren't here on Friday, there was a video of him signing autographs for little Yankee fans before the Thursday game. And if I'm Jose Altuve, the way he gets treated there, I would say, screw them. I ain't doing nothing for no Yankee fans. And yet there's Jose Altuve, classy as class gets, out there signing autographs, taking pictures with little Yankee fans. I mean, it's so unbelievable. Unbelievable. He is so good. My goodness, is he something. What a weekend. It was just fun. You know what? They finished 2-2, but it really doesn't matter. If they're going to win their division, it sure would be nice to catch up to them and get home field advantage for throughout the playoffs and whatnot, and you could still do that. I mean, the Yankees are good, but you know what? We've seen – their vulnerability was tested a little bit. I tell you what, they probably have in the back of their mind a little bit going, this Astros team still is our daddy. We got to, well, you know what? We're not as good as maybe we thought we were.
No, I think without question, I think you take away from this. Look, we're disappointed because, and we'll get into Dusty Baker the next segment. We'll get into Dusty, but I can tell you this: what our expectations were, you and I. Oh, the Astros, as always, far surpass it. Like yes. Whatever you think is going to happen with the Astros. With all of your Houston sports angst, and I grew up here, so I've got a lot of it. And over the years, like, I'll be happy with this. Yeah, I'd be happy with the split. I said that. But the fact is, they're 4-2 right now in their series against New York teams, and they've outplayed the teams six times. Six out of six, yeah. They've outplayed the New York teams. And what you came away with was realizing, wow, the Astros are fearless. Number one, it's the same thing you know about Jose Altuve. He completely ratchets up the focus. When he is booed and when people come after him, he ratchets it up. It's just what happens. That's part of his nature. Another day where he reached base four different times, including the leadoff home run. But I'll tell you what, the starting pitch, there's still questions about the bullpen. The Astros are apparently looking for – report came out there looking from Buster Olney, and we'll play it a little bit later. It was not a report. He was on with, Wheelhouse on Friday, and he talked about what the Astros are looking for, and we'll get to that.
Well, we got a lot to talk about. We do.
Yeah.
But there's a game – okay, by the way, there's a little game in town. It's Verlander versus Cole, and it's Thursday.
Oui.
At Minute Maid. And you can get your tickets where –
Simple Seats. And I'll tell you this right now, that is going to be a hot ticket, especially after this weekend. That is going to be like a playoff style ticket. The best thing for you to do is to jump in right now. I'm looking at the ticket right now. You can get in the building for $48 with Simple Seats. You can get down the, let me see, I'll just do two tickets. Let's just say you and your buddy are going. Right now, I'm looking at tickets down row 31, section 131. That's down the first baseline. They're about 125 right there. So that's an idea of what you're looking at right now. These are playoff style tickets. The Yankees are coming to town, and you got Crawford box tickets that are available for you. Two different sections. The entire upper deck is available to you. And I've told you this before. The upper deck, if you can get somewhere around, you know, between first and third base, upper deck, and you get in a low row, those are really low-key, terrific seats. You should absolutely check that out. There's so many seats to choose from in any Astros game. The Dynamo game. I know they've had Cougar games. They've got, you know, college football games as well. I think that's where we're going to get to Alabama and Texas tickets from as well. So, listen, you don't pay fees. That's the big deal. Simple Seats, the thing that really changes everything with Simple Seats is they have these great prices. They have these great availabilities, and yet they never have fees. Never any fees. So whatever the price is of the ticket, that's what the price is going to be. There's not a secondary surprise once you have to get to the fees during checkout. So make sure that you go to SimpleSeats.com. That's SimpleSeats.com. And use promo code Lance10 because they're going to give you $10 off your first order of $50 or more. That's SimpleSeats.com, promo code Lance10.
This is ESPN 97.5. The Godfather. father of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love this. John Hyman has been a big advocate for the Astros hating, right, throughout the last few years. He wrote an article that says it's past time Yankees fans stop blaming Jose Altuve for Astros cheating. Reggie Jackson shared an elevator the other day with Yankees fans. When one of the guys said, he told telling his buddies how much he despised Jose Altuve. I hate that little sawed-off SOB. And Reggie Jackson, who's now with the Astros, said, he's my favorite player. You should be quiet. You're Reggie Jackson, aren't you? Yes, I am. And so the guy took his advice and shut up. You know what, Yankee fans? You do need to shut up because you're making it worse on yourself. You're just making it worse on yourself. And I love it. I love when Jose's in Yankee Stadium and destroying them. It's so fun. It is.
You
just
think
so
it
good.
Can't continue, and yet it continues.
It gets worse.
It continues to continue.
Yeah.
Yes. Like it's truly unbelievable. We know famously there's been a lot of killers of Houston sports teams. Stockton, Malone. But you know what's funny? Stockton, Malone couldn't get over the Rockets until, you know, they traded for Barkley. They just kind of changed some of the dimensions of their team with Sam Cassell and Ori were gone. There have been killers. Steph Curry, without question, is a Rocket, you know, killer. But probably the most famous is Albert Pujols. I mean, Albert Pujols beat you in an NLCS with a home run that was just a blast. Like, every time you pitched to Albert Pujols, every single time, he would hit home runs. He would get big hits. It was to the point that you say, why would you continue to do this, Astros? Right. And that's whenever I had a rant about vomiting blood in my driveway because I was so furious that the Astros continued to pitch to this guy. You look at Jose Altuve, honestly, John, for as bad as it was with, you know, Albert Pujols, this is at least 2.5 times worse.
Oh.
Jose Altuve, what he does to the Yankees is actually more than that. It's like 6 times worse.
He finishes them in the ALCS.
He multiple years.
Yes.
He beats them and he knocked out Aroldis Chapman and the Yankees in 19. Gone. You have last year, the All-Star game, the break, walk-off, gone. 2017, Altuve. This year, Altuve. Like, I've never seen one team daddy somebody so badly as Jose Altuve daddies the Yankees. He's actually daddy Yankees.
So much fun. So is Judge with those last two wins by the Yankees.
Let's do this.
Do you pitch to him or you do not pitch
no.
to him?
No. And you know what?
Well, but Rizzo's coming up. It's a righty-lefty thing.
Okay, you did the first time. I'm sorry. There is 0% of the people can convince me that with two outs, you throw to Aaron Judge. Put him on base. Make it bases loaded because one run's going to score anyway. Why would you go against an MVP who's already beaten you previously? Dusty Baker had two clownish moves yesterday. The first one was pinch hitting Yordan Alvarez with two outs in the ninth. Why is he pinch hitting Yordan, or maybe it was the eighth, with two outs, nobody on, and Jason Castro hitting behind you? Of course you were sending him up there to walk. That's all you were doing. They weren't going to throw him a pitch. He got one strike, four balls. The fourth one, the last one, they didn't even throw it. They just said send him to first. They couldn't get him to chase something. Dusty, how are you taking a dangerous weapon like Yordan Alvarez and throwing him into that situation? I get you wanted one more run. I get that you wanted another run.
But you're not
getting
it. You're not.
But you got to hang on to him in case you need him at a time where it makes more sense. Because all you're doing was you're just sending him up to the plate to walk. That's all it was. As soon as he went to the plate, I'm like, why would they even pitch to him? There's no reason to pitch to him. The pitching coach comes out. The catcher comes out. They have a conference. Big shock. He walks. Jason Castro does nothing, and lo and behold, Yordan's done. And
well, why didn't you put him in left field?
I don't know. I would exactly. I mean, I know the thought is we don't want Yordan in defensively late in the game, but you can't afford to have his bat out in case it does go extras.
Yes, in case and Did that spot come up again? No, it didn't come up again. But it had to come up again. You'd be like, it's Aledmys Diaz instead of Yordan? Are you kidding me? What? I mean, that's a decision. No, you bring Yordan up with first and second and one out, and you're down a run or two.
You bring him up when they don't want to walk him.
Yes, when you can't walk him. Now, you could have walked Judge because you had first and third. I don't know. Rizzo's coming up. I guess, yes, you don't want Judge to beat you. I get it, yes. And it, you know what? One run destroys you. It's over, so that's okay. You know what? It's Papa made it. Okay, so we got him, right? Here's what he said, right? RJ, you got sound. You got the sound. Here's Papa talking about pitching to Judge.
Did you consider walking Judge?
No, because it was two outs. You can always look back and say, and then if I walk Judge, and you know, then you got a tough guy up there, Rizzo. That's, I mean, this guy's. He's been good for years, and also put in a situation where you're not going to swing a bad pitch. He'll foul off a bunch of pitches, and end up you don't want to lose the game, you know, on a potential walk. And so, no, I didn't consider.
How depleted was your bullpen today? And then just what did you think about the job the guys that you did put in there?
Well, the guys did a great job. I mean, you know, our bullpen was depleted coming in here, you know, because each guy had gone 2 days in a row. And, you know, we didn't have Presley, we didn't have Neris, we didn't have, you know, Montero. And so the guys that, you know, the guys came in, you know, did a, you know, good job for us.
What'd you think of Urquidy?
Yeah, he was great. That's the best game he's thrown, you know, this year. I mean, you know, the whole Yankees, like 15 innings or so hitless. I mean, that's a pretty good job of pitching.
Great job of pitching. Listen, Seth Martinez, I've been calling for him. You put him in there. The kid, you know, comes in there with a, you know, runners on. He's got, you know, put in a tough situation. I still would rely on him. You know who's looking really, really good is Brian Abreu.
Yeah.
Brian Abreu is looking great. You know, yeah, we've talked for years you'd be going, Brian Abreu is coming in. Yikes. Brian Abreu is pitching his ass off.
By the way, Stanek is not a closer. Like, people who are calling for Stanek to be a closer, Stanek's not a closer.
Stanek is, I don't know that. I'm not sure about that.
Stanek doesn't have closer makeup. It was certain. You got to be a certain mental makeup.
I don't know. That dude seems to me to be all closer makeup. He seems angry out there all the time.
Angry doesn't make you closer makeup. Well, closer makeup is under control.
Well,
it's actually the opposite.
Oh, well, I don't know.
Name the angriest closer.
The mad Hungarian was the.
Well, I mean, if you want to go back to the 70s Royals, that's fine.
That's what I'm saying.
Cardinals, I mean, yeah. Name the angry closers, because there's not a lot of angry. The best closers who are the most consistent are the ones who, frankly, are the ones who have the most control. The guys who are in control. They don't always even have the best stuff.
Well, I don't know.
Like Trevor Hoffman.
What do you mean by in control? Stanek has pitched great this
mentally
year.
Mentally in control, not angry and all that stuff. Ryan Stanek has never been a closer. Every time somebody does well, we think they can be the closer. I don't think Stanek is a closer. Certainly in the two opportunities he got this week.
He certainly has the closer stuff. I mean,
he has a great fastball.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that's fantastic. You got to have more than that in Major League Baseball.
Well, he's been good, Lance.
I mean, Stanek has been good. I'm just saying.
Well, wait a minute.
Here's what. Remember how you said you didn't want people. You thought it was. I think it's reckless for you to say Stanek can be a closer right now, because then maybe the Astros won't go out and look for a better bullpen pitcher. This team could use another arm in a pen.
Okay, so take a guess. The last time Ryan Stanek gave up a run.
This isn't about, I'm not debating if Ryan Stanek is having a good season. What I'm debating is we saw a couple of instances.
I don't know what.
We saw two instances this weekend.
How do you know a guy can't close until you try to close him?
You know when he gave up a run? He gave up a run against, he's the one who gave up runs against the Yankees. You're saying his own earned runs? Inherited runs is part of the job too.
His own earned run.
I don't know when he gave up an earned run.
It was May.
Congratulations.
He's gone all of June. He's
gone. Okay, when's the last time he
all of May? No. It was April. Excuse me. It was April. April he gave up a run.
Well, close him then. Okay, that's fine.
Why do you think you don't know if a guy can close until you try to close him? I mean, what is it about his makeup that you don't?
Then do it. Get Presley out and do it then.
Well, maybe they should. Maybe they should. I don't know what you think that Ryan Stanek
can't. Presley doesn't do that. Ryan Stanek is fine. I don't have a problem with Ryan Stanek. I'm saying I don't think the Astros have a true. I'm not going to keep saying this. I don't think they have a true premier closer. I know they don't have a true premier closer. Now, with that said, I thought Presley
had
stuff Thursday, looked great on Saturday, really great, sharp breaking pitch. You just need that over and over and over. That's what he's got to do. He's got to be that Presley all the time.
Well, here's the deal is, to get a top-of-the-line closer, major league closer that can win you a World Series, I don't know that you're going to find that. That doesn't happen too often, that a guy comes and he can be a closer for a World Series team. That's tough to find. That's not going to be easy.
I mean, Stanek was fine yesterday. I know he gave up the hit, and he was put in a tough position with Judge. Maybe I'm being too tough on him. I just, I've watched Stanek now 3 years, going on 3 years. I just don't think, I know he's got a hot fastball. The Astros have two of the pitchers with the top 25 fastest, hardest throwing pitchers. The Astros have two. It's Ryan Stanek and who else?
The two fastest?
Mm-hmm.
Two? In the bullpen?
Their whole pitching staff. There's two guys that the Astros have in the top 25 in the league, hardest throwers. Who are they?
Hardest throwers?
It's Ryan Stanek's one of them.
And the other one, Montero?
You've already mentioned him.
I don't know who.
Abreu.
Abreu. Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know that Abreu. Now, see, to me, I don't think Abreu's got makeup stuff.
Closer
stuff. I don't believe that.
He's a big arm, and that's what I think Stanek is. And I think that's good. When you look at the Yankees, you look at the Dodgers, they always have big power arms. Like, that's what I like. I like Stanek in that role. I like having Abreu finally come around that role because people, had been praising Abreu for years. So now you have Abreu's a power arm, Stanek's a power arm. I like all that stuff. I want those guys in the bullpen, especially if Abreu's finally coming around. I just think your closer, I think the stuff, when Presley's stuff is right, that's good stuff because he can work at 95 and 96 with his fastball and then it's got that tight, sharp breaking pitch. I mean, super, super sharp. But as you know, being a closer, a lot of it is about can you bear down when you need to? Can you go get what is needed? And can you can you make a team? What I want is a closer who makes a team say, game's over if we don't score in the eighth because we ain't scoring in the ninth.
Well, your wish ain't coming true because Presley's going to be that closer the rest of the year.
No, I know.
And he's going to continue to go to Neris. I don't care what Neris does. He's going to continue to go to that. As opposed to an Abreu who's been pitching great, as opposed to a Stanek who's been pitching great, as opposed to, although he has used the Stanek plenty. Stanek's got like 24, 25 appearances without giving up an earned run. That's how good Stanek has been. Abreu's been great. Seth Martinez has been great yesterday, notwithstanding. And yet he continues, even when Neris is struggling, he continues to go to Neris.
Yeah, Seth was fine. I don't put anything on. To me, Seth should not have to face Dusty. Should not have to face. That's on Dusty. Seth Martinez should not have to face Aaron freaking Judge.
No.
That just shouldn't have been the case. You load the base. If the kid walks or hits somebody, you lose. Oh, well, too bad. Too bad, so sad. You don't let the best hitter beat you. Look at Jose Altuve beats the Yankees all the time. You've just had Aaron Judge do that. You shouldn't need Aaron Judge to do it twice. And fortunately, he did that. When we come back, we got Laz. If you guys want to weigh in, I know a lot of you are going to want to weigh in as well because despite weighing in on a couple things that bothered us, and especially me this weekend, I will say this was a really, really positive series for the Astros. Without question, the Astros showed the Yankees that, hey, Yankees, if you thought that you were ahead of us, you're not ahead of us. We came into your house, outplayed you severely for four games, and you guys got lucky. Not lucky, but you guys had home runs that ended up winning two of the games and splitting. Laz is already on the line. You guys can jump in. 713-780-3776. And on the other side, we're going to hear from Buster Olney, who talks about the Astros being in the market. Buster has his ear to the ground. The Astros are probably going to be buyers come trade deadline, and he will tell you at what positions exactly.
All right, well, you know who's lucky? The city of Houston. You know who's ahead of everybody? Aqueduct Plumbing. Billy Brown and his sister Mary, and doing a great job, and making sure I had lunch with Billy, and we're going out again. And I just can't wait. He's such a great guy. But here's the deal: is you don't care about great guy. Well, you do, because at the top is where you start integrity. Okay, in your company, and when you tell your guys to go out there and listen, when you tell your guys go find out what's wrong at the house, we're going to take care of it. And we're going to do it, and we're going to do it at a fair price. We're going to do it so that everything is done perfectly, and we're going to do it without charging just to show up. And you're not going to find a plumbing company like this. So when you have a plumbing issue, it doesn't matter what it is. And if you've got an emergency situation, call them right away. They will get out there, and they will take care of that business. Look, if you're looking for a great plumber, it's Aqueduct Plumbing. Those are our guys, TheBenchPlumbing.com.
TheBenchPlumbing.com, whether it's a small job, a large job, they are the ones to do the job. AqueductPlumbing.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Our boy Niall, he says, Ronel Blanco. He wants Ronel Blanco to close.
I'll stick Press. I'll stick with Presley.
Yeah, he wants. He's in the Astros minor league system. So I don't know. I don't know if he's going to walk in and close against the Yankees and Aaron Judge in Yankee Stadium. Is that what you want for him, Niall? Is that what you want? I know you've seen him throw. I know he's probably got a whip. And yeah. You know what?
It's just a short trip down to watch the Space Cowboys. You can see the next
Speaking of watching, what about watching us do our work on Friday over at Cobo's Q?
We're going to be at Cobo. Yeah, we're going to Edo, and we're going to go grab some grub and some drinks over with Raul over at Cobo's Q, and we're looking forward to that. That's going to be a really good time. It's always a party. Anytime Cobo's Q throws any kind of a party, and this is going to be our summer circuit, and the summer circuit is taking us to Cobo's. We're going to start at 7 a.m. Our show is going to broadcast and originate from there. We'll have great food, a full bar. We're going to get the weekend started right with our show. You're going to register to win a new grill from Texas Star Grill Shop and a weekend getaway from Lafayette Travel this Friday. It's at Cobo's Q, which is at 2012 Rusk Street, just right across the way from Minute Maid Park over there, right around the corner. Very, very close, a short walk. So make sure that you go and come see us, whether it's to start the show or at any time in between. I think we're going until, I believe the show goes until 3 o'clock. They're going all the way up to the wheelhouse is the broadcast schedule, I believe. So it's going to be a party over there at Cobo's Q the entire Friday.
That's going to be great. That's going to be great. So come on and join us. Have breakfast with us over at Cobo's Q, 2012 Rust Street. That's on Friday. All right. 713-780-3776.
Can I get to some of this Buster-only stuff? I really want to play this sound.
Yeah.
Because I think Buster had some great insight Friday on the wheelhouse that carries over certainly today. And one of it is about, you know, we talked about the Astros bullpen, and Buster only expects – the bullpen to really be in play for the Astros before the trade deadline.
Now, you guys have seen this, and I have in the time I've covered baseball. Relievers are like hot stocks. They go up, they go down. Guys who are struggling in June can suddenly find it in August. They can make one small adjustment, they'll be okay. But I do think they probably, as the Dodgers have done in recent years, you know, before Kenley Jansen left the team, as they're probably going to do this year with Craig Kimbrell, the Yankees this year with Aroldis Chapman, you have to build safety nets in. You have to, you know, understand where you're going to go with a plan B, because it certainly looks like there's some reason for concern.
Well, do you think the Astros need a safety net? Is there reasons for concern with Ryan Presley, Buster Olney?
they're looking at the same metrics that everybody else is, whether it's fans or whether it's evaluators of other teams, and there are a lot of red flags up all over the place. You know, you're talking about a strikeout rate going way down. The chase rate outside of the strike zone, that's way down. His fastball velocity is down 1.5 miles per hour from 95.5 last year down to 94 this year. His fastball production is down. His sliders production is down. And as I mentioned, if you look at the context of the Astros winning the division, they'll be fine. But if you're trying to win a World Series and trying to get back to the World Series, you know, where the Astros have been consistently in recent years, you're probably going to need to find other solutions in the bullpen. You need to build safety nets in.
What about at center fielder? Jake Myers just came back. You have Jose Siri, who does sweet bat flips. Chas McCormick swings as hard as he can. What about the center fielder spot, Buster?
I got to say, when I was there last weekend, what I heard a lot about from sources who I was talking to was center field, that was a spot where they feel like they just need more consistent production. And there certainly are going to be options in the marketplace. Cedric Mullins of the Orioles jumps to mind. He had a great year last year. He's not had a good year this year. You know, maybe he has a resurgence between now and August 2nd when the trade deadline is. Brian Reynolds of the Pittsburgh Pirates is seen by other teams as being a guy who could be available. The Pirates had a very high price tag on him during the course of the offseason. Presumably, you know, Brian, because he hasn't as good a year, that price tag has gone down. But you've got a number of teams potentially involved in that. But that's what I was hearing over the weekend was more about center field.
And rightfully so. I don't think they're going to do anything with Machete. He's going to be their catcher. I don't think that's going to happen. You know, Mateshevich was overloaded. I know he hit the homer the other day, and he said his first two hits were homers, but man, he was outmatched yesterday, that's for sure. And somebody said, why would you sit Yordan in that game? Listen, Nestor is nasty against lefties, and sometimes you got to protect your guys. Yordan had not been swinging, other than the first game where he homered. Yordan looked terrible against Cole. He looked awful against Cole. He had no confidence whatsoever. I thought it was maybe the right thing to do to sit him against that lefty. But, you know, once Brantley goes down and you need somebody in left field or DH to take his place.
Why is not Yordan?
DH to take his place. Why not Yordan?
Because
Nestor's not going to be there the whole game.
They wanted Yordan to be off a full day, and I get that. But you know what?
He wasn't.
Come on. This is the Yankees. What are we doing? Dusty, why are we doing this? Somebody on Twitter's like, oh, Lance, you silly, stupid boy. Dusty is not walking Aaron Judge and making these questionable moves because he wants to test the Astros and see what they're made of. Like, see what they're made of? I'm like, dude, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen tweeted. Dusty's trying to see what people are made of? This is a team with nuts the size of boulders. You want to see what they're made of? You mean the team that's been to the World Series three different times, including last year? They're made of plenty. If you couldn't see what they were made of in the first 3.5 games, they're made of plenty of good stuff. I don't think that's it. Dusty's job is to put them in the best position to win and walking Aaron Judge, and that's a whole separate thing, and I'm not going to keep going back to that. But to play into that same thing, I get the fact they wanted to give Yordan a break. This is DH. This is a DH. Yordan would have stepped up to the plate twice, probably. Instead of once, he would have stepped up twice. Just plug Yordan in that spot instead of J.J. Mateshevich. Just plug Yordan in there and let Mateshevich be the pinch hitter late if you need that. That's the way you could have looked at that.
Yep. Why does J.G. sound like he's been throwing down to me? I was sick all weekend.
Sick of catching bad cards or good cards or what happened?
Well, no, because I was playing. Dude, I did too much. Played 13 hours, slept 2 hours, got up, did the show, went back, played all day, slept about 4 hours, went back and played all day.
You're poker sick.
It has been. But here's the deal. All weekend long, I couldn't go anywhere. So I'm in the Golden Nugget in Las Vegas. I mean, what unbelievable place to be stuck when you can't do anything. The restaurants, the Grotto, Saltgrass, the Chart House, the Vic and Anthony's, the Claim Jumper, and then all of the games, the table games and everything else. I mean, yeah, I was sick, but you think I didn't? I was just wandering around my little wonderland here. It was just unbelievable. I mean, this is the place to be sick, can I tell you? Oh, my gosh. Oh, I can't. I couldn't have been happier. Could not have been happier. Did okay in the tournament, and then I had my little wonderland here at the Golden Nugget. So it was a great weekend. Great weekend. I'm coming home today, so I'll be sick in Houston.
Wait a minute. How'd you do?
I finished 254th out of 7,000.
Did we cash?
Yeah, we cashed.
Well, how much are we getting?
4,000.
Okay, I'm 5%. 10% is 400. Oh, 200. Nice.
You don't get nothing.
I called 5%, John.
You get nothing.
I called 5%.
A little 4,000. That's all. It's nice. That's nice.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Absolutely.
No, it was fun. It was fun. It was a good time. It's a grind, though. But, bro, I played 26 hours just to get more. Just to get to, you know, there. So it is a grind. It's nonstop. Now you get breaks and you get a dinner break, but you know, it's fun. I love it. It's a good time. And then the main event's coming up. They got one that's the Colossus. It's just stupid. $400. There's like 9,000 guys in it. And you're just trying to, I mean, it's just so there's so many poker players here. So many. It's unbelievable. And then you got all the other places here at the Golden Nugget. They're giving away. They had 1,100 event. They had over 3,000 players in it. Three or 4,000 players in it just here at the Nugget. That's not even counting the World Series of Poker.
Is it because they're giving away
$1 million in this tournament.
Have you ever seen it more crowded when you have that many people there?
I know. It's crazy. I think everybody is like, you know what? Everybody is out of their cocoons, and they're like, let's go. I'm going to Vegas. You should see the Nugget here. It is packed. It is unbelievable. It's just so much fun. This is just great. Anyway, I'm coming home today, so I'll see you guys tomorrow. I was supposed to play some golf this weekend. I don't think I'm going to be able to. That's a shame. I mean, I've really, really been neglecting golf. Golf is kind of pissed at me right now. So there's that. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5.
We actually are expecting a cold front tonight, so you're going to come into some pretty cool weather.
Oh, that's perfect.
Get ready. It's supposed to dip into the 50s.
Into the 50s?
Yep.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's not going to help my cold. I hope it stays in the 90s.
Nope, it's not supposed to. It's supposed to be in the 50s, and then it'll get into the 70s, I think. Hopefully it'll warm up a little bit. And so we can – it's been a little warm here.
Yeah, 105 yesterday? Did it hit 105?
No, I never hit 105. Got 103.
103?
The feels like did hit 111. And I went and played some disc golf with our old producer, Tyler, as a matter
you
of
did?
Fact. Who was listening to the program and he had some
shoot?
Thoughts. He had some thoughts and comments I'll share with you at some point.
What'd you shoot?
I was fine. I shot, what did we just tell our personal, that's fine. I shot, seven
truth.
Over and 21 holes at Moffitt on Sunday. That's right.
Wait a minute.
It was a pretty good round for me, if I'm being honest. First time playing Moffitt.
21
in a while,
holes, yeah. That's not golf. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it was good. It was good seeing Tyler again. So you did cash. That's good. So you stayed about the same place you were when we left you on
right,
Friday.
Right. I was close to where we were. Yeah, I was close to where we were. Yeah, no, it's fun. Yeah, I had a good time.
You're not playing any other cards? You know, you're not playing blackjack or anything?
I did. I played a little blackjack. Played some Let It Ride.
Let it bleed?
Yeah,
you
let
just
it bleed.
Bleed
let
out?
It bleed. That bled me, that's for sure. But when we come back, we're not going to do what did you learn this weekend in one sentence. We'll do it tomorrow because I'm not there, so it's going to be too hard to do it from here. So we will take your calls, and we also got to talk about this Deshaun thing on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, let's talk about hoops, sporting goals. And listen, if you're looking for Pro Dunk hoops, then you got Pro Dunk hoops. Pro Dunk hoops is the number one goal in the market. period, exclamation point. It's not even arguable. When Keith Tate puts out the best, the best, the best, there's nothing that is left to, not chance so much as, there's nothing that is cheap about it. There's nothing that isn't the top quality. The tempered glass backboard, the unbreakable rim, the stanchion that's unrustable, the installation that's second to none, stenciling your driveway, putting up letters to make it your kid's court. They will love this goal. Your wife will love this goal. Everybody loves this goal. It's the best goal. The kids love it because they can dunk. But more importantly, they can actually go out and enjoy it as opposed to a 10-foot goal that shakes and all the... No, this goal is the most sturdiest, and you can lower it so the kids can actually have fun. So if you're looking for that goal, there's one place to go, ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You know, because the season started late, we missed the first week of the season. We get the Phillies. That was the first series of the season at the very end of the season. You see Bryce Harper broke his thumb?
That I did. Was,
yeah. So
there's a lot of players out. A lot of big-name players are going out.
He was pissed too. Did you see the Angels fight this weekend?
Oh, my gosh. That was so – did you see the lead-up to it? What caused it?
Yeah. Well, you had throwing at Trout's head?
I got to tell you something now. You came up and in on two of their hitters, and one of them included Mike Trout. That so what happened was Phil Nevin changes starters and says, hey, you know what? For this game Sunday, we're actually not going to go with our scheduled starter. We're going with an opener. Like, oh, okay. So here comes the opener. And you know that Scott Servais on the other side, both, by the way, former Astros, you know the manager for Seattle, Scott Servais, and the entire Mariners team knew what the deal was there. As soon as you go from starter to opener, you knew what the deal was going to be. So they throw up. So the first hitter has a pitch go behind his head. And it was immediately a warning and yelling and screaming and super tense. And, you know, it was everyone knew, like everyone was on pins and needles after that. But the warnings were out there and you figured, okay, that might have been the get back throw. Nope. The pitcher was out there for a reason. So Winker, I think, was next up. He has to catch one. Right in the butt. Like, he has to catch it right. I mean, now, to be fair, it was literally the perfect place you're supposed to throw at a guy if you're intentionally hitting him. Because, and listen, for those of you who are like, oh, baseball's and the unwritten. Now, this is about two guys protecting your hitters who almost got hit in the face.
Yeah, it was Walsh and Trout.
If you aren't being more careful about how you're going to, if you're going to be that reckless where you could hit somebody in the face with a baseball and you did it twice to two different hitters, you're going to wear one, and wearing one in the butt is not considered out of bounds at all in baseball. But Winker was pissed because I think maybe Seattle thought, hey, you guys already threw behind someone's head. We're even. You should not have to hit me. But that's, you know, I'm sure to the Angels, they're like, no, we're not even close to even.
Right.
What you did. You could have put
so,
Mike
but
Trout
Scott
out. You could have ended Mike Trout's career.
Scott Servais is a bleep starter. He is a ship starter. There is no question.
Oh, yeah.
No question about that. It's his guys that are throwing a Walsh and a Trout, and then there's a retaliation that's an unwritten rule of baseball. He you know what? The Mariners did it right. Man, the one up around the head, notwithstanding, they hit him right in the butt. Now that's okay. It's over. No, Scott Servais is he started it with Dusty. He started it here. Scott Servais is out of control. Scott Servais needs – I thought he's old school. He should be – he should know how this works. And yet he's the one that's instigating all these fights now. And he's got – somebody's got to reel this dude in. I know you're frustrated because your team sucks and you were supposed to be good this year. It's on you, Scott Servais. Don't be fighting everybody else because of that.
Well, and how about – but this one got – now, I didn't see – I saw some kind of punches, some, like, hammer fist stuff. There was some face pushes. There was It was baseball dust up plus, right? It was baseball dust up plus. They gathered, but there was a lot of momentum when the Mariners were all running basically at the Angels dugout, and a lot of stuff took place over there by the dugout. And there was, when things go to the ground, you really don't see what's going on there. That's why baseball is mostly people pulling other people away from people, is what a lot of baseball fights are about, and then that turns into some heated stuff. So, it restarted two different times. It reignited. Yeah. So,
well, that was actually back to this Astros thing. So,
okay.
they got the Phillies at the end of the season.
Yeah.
They had to make up three games with the Yankees because they were the second series of the year. Mm-hmm. So two of them are going to be – it's going to be a shortened All-Star break. You're going to play a doubleheader when you get back at home right after the All-Star break. The Yankees are going to come in here for a doubleheader. Now, the other game they had to make up is going to be this Thursday, and it's going to be Cole and Verlander. The Yankees – unfortunately for us, I was hoping that they'd be on the road, but they've got the A's tonight, tomorrow, and then a Wednesday early game. So then they have to travel to Houston to play that game, and then they head to Cleveland right after that game. It is very unusual for you to go to a city for one game, to have to fly to a city, play a game, and then leave immediately after. But that's what the Yankees are going to have to do to make up for those three games that they lost. And both teams are going to get a shortened All-Star break because they're going to play a doubleheader as soon as it's over. So that's how you're making up those three home games with the Yankees. And you know what? It's advantage Astros in both cases. You get a doubleheader at home against the Yankees, and you get that one game that the Yankees were supposed to have the day off. You were supposed to have the day off too, but the Yankees were supposed to have the day off. You're going to be at home. The Yankees have to travel. So that's a win for our Houston Astros. All right, Deshaun Watson, we're going to do it on the other side because it's 7:57, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We'll talk about Deshaun on the other side. But right now we're talking about Chastang Ford and my people over at Chastang and how much I love them. And I talk about integrity at the top of whatever business it is, and that's where it has to come from, the integrity in your business, because everybody has their marching orders down the line throughout the entire corporation. And that is so much the case at Chastang Ford. I mean, you want to talk about everybody, Tony, the sales manager, general manager, Allie, Justin, all of these people from the finance department, they work it so hard. Hey, we got to get this guy into these payments at this price, and we got to get him here because that's where he's got to be, and we're going to work it. And what are the rebates that we could possibly get from Ford? It's time after time after time. It wasn't for just me. The first thing they asked me, okay, where do your payments have to be at? And I was like, I want that expedition. What do your payments have to be at? Okay, so now what do you want in it? Now it's different because you don't have to take the packages. You get to order it. Now, there's a lot of cars you can't order right now, but coming in very soon, you're going to be able to. But there's still cars that you can't order, and there's still plenty of pre-owned vehicles on the lot right now. If you're looking for that pre-owned vehicle or you want to order one from Chastang Ford, you're going to get it right. All you got to do is go to ChastangFord.com or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
ESPN 97.5.